Psalms chapter number 101, and we're going to start. There's only 8 verses in the Psalms, and so if you'll turn there, we can look at that tonight. Short little psalm with some great truth in it, and Psalms 101, and notice what it says in verse number 1 tonight. Psalms 101 and in verse number 1, Psalms right there in the middle of your Bible, if you can turn there. And notice it says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment of thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off, and him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with thee. And he that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now we're going to take our text out of verse number 3, and this is what it says. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. And what I want to preach on tonight is this little thought of avoiding fatal attractions. You know, in life, there's a lot of fatal attractions. And I'll give you an example. In nature, is full of fatal attractions. The bee is drawn to the spider's web. The fly to the Venus flytrap. The moth to the light. The mouse to the cheese. This is a hard one. Women to men who beat them. Young people to those who would destroy them. People with problems to drawn to people with the same problems. Why was it that Eve was drawn to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? She was drawn to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was a tree that God said, hey, don't go there. Don't touch it. He didn't say don't touch. He said don't eat it. But, you know, why was she drawn to that one place? There was the tree of life was there. She could have eaten of it. But why was she drawn to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And see, in life, there are fatal attractions. And sin has a way of drawing people. Sin is like a magnet. And we're like metal, and all of us are drawn to it. There's no one that's not drawn to sin, and yet sin kills. Have you ever seen pictures of that people have depicted of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it looks so beautiful? And of course, that after they ate of it, it becomes a skull and crossbones, and with the word death wrote across it, because that's what happened when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we are drawn to evil. We are drawn to it. And sin kills. It kills homes, marriage, people's children, testimonies, the desire for God. It kills love. It kills hope. It kills a relationship with the Lord. And yet we're still, for all those things, and we know those things, we are still drawn to them. Why is it that when you drive by and see something that's wrong and evil, that in our hearts we are tempted to look at it? Because we're drawn to it. We're tempted to hear wrong things. We're drawn to it. That's why the Bible says our heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because we are drawn to the things that will destroy us in life. We're drawn to those things. And that's why avoiding those things is the most important thing. And our text here, the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You say, why? Lest we be drawn to the wrong thing. Because it's easy to be drawn to the wrong thing. So let's pray and let's ask for God's help and grace for the next few minutes. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. And God, as we look at fatal attractions in life, and Lord, how to avoid these fatal attractions, because sin kills. The wages of sin is death. And God, that's true for the child of God. It's true for the sinner. And God, the devil is he's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. The Bible says that he was a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer and the father of it. And he killed Adam and Eve. No doubt he did, God, with that fatal attraction of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that we'd not be drawn to the things that are wrong. And though in our heart we are, Lord God, as we think about that song, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, Father. And God, that we would resist evil and choose the good as a child of God, that we would walk before you in truth.
Bless the word now. Help me to preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to avoiding fatal attractions and avoiding the things that are wrong, and you say, well, you know, how do you avoid things that are wrong? How do you do that? Notice what the psalmist says. I'm going to break this verse up, verse number 3, into three little parts. And notice where it begins. It says, I will set. Now, again, how do you avoid fatal attractions? By not empowering sin in your life, not tolerating it. You know, when it comes to empowering sin, sin has to be empowered. And that's why he said, I will set. You know, the things that usually tempt us are the things that we put in front of us, the things that we allow to be put in front of us. And the great answer is, don't allow it. Don't entertain it. It's been said that sin is a fire that cannot be played with. And we know that that's true. You play with fire, what happens? You always get burned. You play with fire long enough, you get burned. How many kids have played with fire and burnt the house down? I remember one time Joe and I were playing with matches in our closet upstairs. And my dad's house was a stick house, old farmhouse. And we're in the closet, burning fire in the closet. And we have the whole upstairs filled with smoke. And my sister Barb come along and she yanks open the closet door and says, what are you doing? And we're in there burning fire in the closet, right? And we could have burned the whole house down. Now, you say, and why is it that we're drawn to that? You know, you're drawn to the things that are wrong. And again, it begins with not empowering that in your life. Not empowering the things that are wrong in your life. Again, the Bible says in Proverbs that fools make a mock of sin. Don't empower sin. There are so many things in my life. You say, well, the TV's evil. Yeah, but who turned it on? Right? Videos are evil, but who put the video in? Right? You say, well, look at all the filth you get on your phone. Yeah, but who looked it up? You know, it doesn't do it on its own, right? And again, and you say, well, that bar is an evil place. Yeah, but whose feet took you there? Yours did. Again, it comes to empowering sin. We empower sin and we give sin the ability. And that's why the psalmist said, I will set. He said, I'm not going to do it. When it comes to empowering sin, it begins with, you know, you not allowing it in your life and not entertaining it in your life. Not empowering sin, not engaging in it. You know, the devil says, hey, try it. You'll like it, right? The devil's always said that. Hey, you know, have a little taste of this. You know, try it once. And, you know, sinners say, oh, come on. Just try it once for me. Well, you know, a lot of people have died just trying it once. You know, in this opioid crisis that this new meth and this new heroin they got out there, one shot of it will kill you. One shot of it. They're having people die all over America. And they're getting to be where it's, you know, they're counting it by the minutes that people are dying now from this kind of thing. And they've never done it before. And you know what? They'll never do it again. Why? Because they're going to be dead. They're going to be dead. There was a young man in Ohio. And matter of fact, it's Clarence Sexton and Ralph Sexton. Their nephew went to a football game. This was back in the 80s. And he went to a football game. Christian young man. Loved Jesus Christ. But he went to the football game with his friends and they talked him into taking some pills and taking it. And he had never done it before. And you know what? He's never done it since. But you know where he's been the rest of his life since he did that? He's been in a mental institution because it completely destroyed his brain. He went on a trip and he never came home. He just did it once. Ralph Sexton was down there in the kitchen. He came down. He was trying to help the young man. He's 16, 17, 18 years old. And he's down there. And he's got a pair of pliers. And he's pulling out all his teeth. And he said, what are you doing? He said, well, can't you hear the voices? Can't you hear the music telling me to do it? And any time he listened to rock and roll music, he would completely go on that trip again and lose his mind. You say, what happened? The devil said, try it. You'll like it. And he was never the same. Brother Larry gives his testimony of that PCP. And what's he say? He was never the same after that. Right? And you say, why is that? Hey, the devil, he knows how to... hey, how many times did Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? One time. One time. Adam only ate of it one time. And it changed their life forever. And that's why it says, I will set. There's certain things you need to avoid. And those that say, oh, come on, it won't hurt you. Oh, come on, you can do it. Anytime someone says, you can do it this once, you better be running. You better be running for your life. Because it's something bad. I guarantee you. My sister Barb tried angel dust one time. And she almost died. And all her friends said, oh, come on, try it one time. Try it one time. She's thankful she's alive today. You can empower sin and you can engage in it. Some people indulge in it. They say, hey, you empower it by tolerating it. You engage in it by trying it. And then you indulge in it by putting that temptation in front of you. You say, well, you know what you have to do when it comes to temptation? You have to flee temptation. You have to run from temptation. That's why the Bible commands and the preachers in the New Testament, flee youthful lust. There's things you've got to run away from. Because they are fatal attractions. And what is so tantalizing and what is so tempting and what is, looks so gratifying and satisfying is the thing that will destroy you forever. And again, indulging in those things, you know, hey, how do you avoid those attractions? Don't empower it. Don't empower sin. Don't engage in it. Don't indulge it. Don't try enjoying it. my goodness, you think about that for a minute. When it comes to, you know, you say, why? Because that's how sin triumphs over us. That's how sin gets the one up on us. You know, David in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, the Bible says he saw Bathsheba. Now, do you really think that was the first time he saw her? He'd probably seen her lots of times. And he saw her, and then he thought to himself, I have to have her. And let me tell you, did that help David, or was that the black mark on his life? That was the black eye on David's life. Hebrews 11:24-26. You know, there's pleasure in sin for a season, right? Sin is always fun for a while, but it's never fun after the sin's over, is it? What do they say? They say you may live it up, but you'll never live it down. Is that not the truth? Hey, you do certain things and, you know, it's fun to go 150 mile an hour. But it's not fun to be a cripple the rest of your life, right? It's fun to rob a bank. They've interviewed bank robbers. And they robbed the bank and they got away with it. And they kept robbing. They said, you had enough money. Why did you keep robbing banks? You know what they say? It was fun. It was exhilarating. It was a rush. But is it fun being in federal prison the rest of your life? I mean, even that guy who was a car salesman, he rented cars. And he got away with it for 2 or 3 years. And they finally, the FBI figured out his pattern, and they finally caught him. He didn't need to keep robbing. He had had 7 or 8 successful heists. He had all the money he could possibly want. He was already making, he ran the place, he was making 6 figures. He said, I got bored and I needed some excitement. Now, how much excitement is he having in federal prison? Absolutely none. And that's why the Bible says, I will set. It begins with a personally, what are you going to, you know, most temptation is caused with our own hand. You understand that? Most temptation is caused by our own doings. And that's why Moses in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the Lord. Hey, sin's fun. Again, no one ever said sin wasn't fun. The consequences of sin is what's not fun. When it's all said and done. And what lasts for a few minutes can torment you for an entire lifetime. And that's the truth. And when you think about that, you know, again, it's just fun for a little while. Then notice what he says, I will set, look at the second part of the verse. It says, no wicked thing. No wicked thing. Notice what it says there in verse 4. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandeth his neighbor, him will I cut off, and him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful land, that they may dwell with me. And he that walk in the perfect way, he shall serve me. It says, he that worketh the deceit shall not dwell within my house. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, what's the ideal here? You know, there's sometimes you just got to tell yourself no. And you got to say no to people that are right. Remember that phrase they used to try and get people to reject drugs? It was just say no. Now, Satan has a large war chest, folks, and he can supply all the sin that you could possibly want. And he knows what our weaknesses are. Right? And that's why he says, I will set, and then no wicked thing. No wicked thing. You know, and some things are not wicked of themselves. Some things are wicked within themselves, some things are not. But the things that are, what do you got to do? You got to get rid of those things. There's things that, objects and things that have to be gotten rid of. You know, it's like a drunkard, who's an alcoholic who's recovering. What's the worst thing you can have in this house? Alcohol. You say, why? Because it's a wicked thing. You know, alcohol for medicine is a good thing, but for recreation, it's a bad thing. It'll kill you. Drugs the same way. It'll kill you. Pornography, it'll kill you. Movies and music and, you know, that the kind of trash that you and I both know is evil will kill you. It destroys your spirituality in your life. You know, there's things that have to be avoided. Strip joints, casinos, the lottery. You say, are you against the lottery? Of course I'm against the lottery because it's a tax on the poor. Who plays the lottery? Only poor people play the lottery. And what do they do with all that money? They pay for Shelby to go to school. Right? Did you get a grant? Sure you did. And who paid for it? The poorest of society paid for it. Wealthy people didn't pay for it because wealthy people don't play the lottery. Only poor people play. You know, people can't afford to pay their rent. They can't buy milk for their children to have nutrition at the table, but they can afford a lottery ticket. They got this gas station up here on the corner, and we buy our gas there. You know who buys most of the lottery tickets? The people from Kimberly Apartments. And they can't afford to eat or pay their rent. But they walk over there and buy lottery tickets. I see them in there all the time buying lottery tickets. You know what else they're in there buying? Cigars and cigarettes and beer. They can't afford life, but they can afford those things. They can't buy milk and cheese and eggs for their children, but they're in there with that mess. And then they're sitting in jail over the weekend wondering how they got there. You say, what happened? Because they got sucked into the wrong thing. I will set no wicked thing. You know, when it comes to wicked things, you got to be careful of those things and to not set them. It says, I will set no wicked things. And it says, before mine eyes. You remember, what is the eye? The eye is the gate to the soul. The eye is the gate to the heart. James 1, look over in James chapter number 1. And again, you know, when the Bible's very clear when it comes to temptation. God doesn't tempt us, right? Notice what God doesn't tempt any man. Look at verse 13. It said, or verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own what? Lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Brings forth death. You know? you know what sin does is where sin has an influence. Sin influences people, and the sad thing is people want to, when they copy it, they become it. And again, that's the problem. That's why in Psalms chapter number 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and it doth he meditate day and night. Because what you are around is what you what? You become. And the more you allow these things into your life, the more you become it. There was a Christian lady, and she asked a preacher friend of mine, and she asked him, she's had an opportunity to take this job. And it was in an office where there were a bunch of evil men in the office. There were a bunch of adulterers and fornicators. And she said, "Preacher, should I take David? I've got this job to be a secretary and it pays good." And he said, "Well, what's the work atmosphere?" He said, "Well, the men in there, they flirt and they make passes. And, you know," and he said, "but, you know, I need the job and I'm a Christian. I can handle it." And he said, "Oh, dear sister, please don't take that job. Please don't take that job. If you take that job, your life's going to change." You say, "Why?" "Because you're in the place of temptation." And what happened wasn't long, and she was wearing a mini skirt and going out with a married man. You say, "What happened?" She was in the wrong place. And if you put something in your fear, sphere of influence, guess what it's going to do? It's going to influence you. If Eve doesn't get down by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she's not going to be influenced to do anything with it. Is that not true? But she did. She put herself in the place of temptation. And again, he said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." You know, people say, "Well, you know, sin has a way of making you immune to what sin is." You know, it's amazing how things that we think are wrong, and then you don't think they're wrong anymore. You say, "Why is that?" Because toleration level goes up. Can you imagine there ever be a day when they'd have a show on TV like the dating game with same-sex people choosing same-sex people on television? Me and Miss Lisa accidentally saw that the other night. And it was on Fox. You know, we were going to watch the 10 o'clock news, and there were 2 minutes before the news came on. So we turned it on 2 minutes before. It was 9:58. And they got a show. And I forget the name of it, what it was. And it was a woman choosing between two other women to shack up with. And then she puts this big kiss on this woman on national TV. How in the world did we ever get to a place when that was tolerated in our society? Maybe it's because they lit up the White House with a rainbow. And, you know, our current president thinks it's okay. Now, I'm glad he did the thing with transgender thing with the military. That was a good thing. You know, if you're not sure what you are, you don't need to be a soldier. Right? If you don't know if you're a man or a woman, you probably don't need to be a soldier. Now, they'd be good candidates. That group would be good candidates to test nuclear weapons. I got to be careful what I say here because Brother Butch is taping that. I mean, we have the Tuskegee Airmen, right? So let's test how this stuff works on transgender people. Because they don't know what they are anyway, right? I had a guy call me from the jail, and it was sad. He says, "I'm not a man and I'm not a woman." I said, "What are you?" He said, "I'm a morphodite." I said, "You're a what?" He said, "I'm half woman and half man." Now, that is actually a side effect. Listen now. It's a side effect of some of these HDD medicines. Gonocomastia or something like that. I'm not saying it right. But some of these HDD medicines make men grow breasts like women. And it's irreversible. You know what the best HDD medicine in the world is? I'm going to show you right here what the best HDD medicine in the world is. This is HDD medicine. I had HDDD. And you know what Dad do? He'd take the belt and he'd bust my butt and say, "Now you're going to sit in that chair." But you know what? I didn't grow women's breasts. What'd he say? Side effects. And they got $1 million lawsuits all over America. Do you know, if you take HDD medicine, that you cannot serve the U.S. military? You say, "Why is that?" Because it does something to you. I tell all parents, don't let your kids go on that HDD medicine.
Correct them.
spank their butt, make them sit in a chair, do whatever you got to do, but don't let them have the HDD medicine. Because now we're finding out what the long-term side effects of it are. And it's not pleasant what has happened to these people. The guy at the jail, he can't get along in life. Because where do you think they're putting him? You think they're going to put him in a woman's cell? It ain't happening. And what do you think the guys are thinking of him? That is not good. Where sin is, it will influence us. And where sin is, it'll make us immune to it. We get immune to sin. You get used to seeing it. I told this illustration years ago, and it's still a good illustration. A guy got a job working at the county dump at the landfill. And he pulls up, and the guy's showing him the place, and the stench at the landfill is, oh my gosh, it's horrible. Because all the dead carcasses and the rotting things, and, you know, it's horrible. And he pulled up and he says, this is what you're going to do. And this is, you're taking Joe's place over here. And Joe's sitting there eating a sandwich. And the stench is so bad, it makes you want to vomit. And he's thinking, the guy got rid of it. He said, how in the world can you sit there and eat a sandwich? And this stench. And he says, what stench? I don't smell nothing. You get used to it. Seen them commercials, the doggy commercials about Febreze? What your car actually looks like, a big dog. You walk in the house and your house smells like a stinking, filthy, sweaty, dirty dog, and you don't even smell it because you're used to it. Well, that's the truth. I mean, after Dee Dee died, we were still vacuuming up Dee Dee's remains for 5 years after Dee Dee was gone. And the dog smell, it took that long to get the dog out of the house. But you know what? When you have a dog, you don't realize it really smells like that. Because you get used to the smell. We get used to things. Well, it wasn't long, the guy at the dump, he first went down there and he couldn't eat lunch. For months, he couldn't eat lunch. But after, you know, in time, after 6 months went by, you know what he was doing? He was sitting there on the bench, eating his lunch, just like the other guy. And people pull up, oh my God, how can you eat lunch here? He says, what? I don't smell nothing. You say, it's easy to get used to sin. I'll see people, how you doing? I say, oh, preacher, I'm doing good. And I'm thinking, if that's good, I'd hate to see what bad is. You see meth addicts, oh, I'm doing good. And their face is a mess. And their body is thinned down to nothing. Their teeth have rotted out. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And I'm thinking, you are not doing good. Sin, nobody in sin is doing good. They just think they're doing good because they've gotten used to it. You see, sin has a way of making us imagine things. They arrested this guy this last week. He had a fantasy to rape and murder a real estate agent. And he had a list of, I believe it was a list of 200 real estate agents. And what he wanted to do was go to a house, pretend to buy a house, and rape and murder them. That was his plan. And he had imagined all this in his mind. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what happens when we got a sex shop on every corner. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And it's hard to imagine that these things are taking place. But they are taking place. They arrested a couple. And it was just this last week and a half ago. And I want to say it was down in Florida somewhere. That they were in the gas station. In the gas station, shopping in the gas station completely naked. Completely naked. No clothes on whatsoever. I thought, is that what our society is coming to? But that's what our society is coming to. And the things people are imagining in their hearts. Remember John's Linda song? Can you imagine? He had a song singing about that. No heaven and no hell. And he said, you can if you try and all that kind of stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this. And verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, look what it says, imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Most imaginary things are pretty evil. Because when you get into a fantasy world, and our whole society is in a fantasy world, and you know, Spurgeon said this: what fascinates the eye is very apt to gain admission into the heart. Let me say that again. What fascinates the eye is very apt to gain admission into the heart. We have a fatal attraction to sin, and that's the truth. But with biblical application, we can avoid it and we can overcome it. The psalmist said, set your eyes on the Lord and enter into his sanctuary. That's what he's saying here in the text. Look back in Psalms 1. Notice what it says again. Psalms 101. Let's get back over there. It says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. Why sing? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk in within my house with a what? Perfect heart. The psalmist also said, I'll lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help, my strength, and my Redeemer. You know, it all comes down to what you're looking at. And what you're looking at is what you will become. Isn't that why I put so much emphasis on this book? Because if we spent more time with this book than we did with cable TV. Because remember, everything on TV, most of it's what? Imaginary, fake, not real. And imaginations of, what did the Bible say? That the imaginations of man's heart was on evil continually. Fantasies, imaginations. And see, this book has a way of dispelling the nonsense. And the more we get this book in our heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against what? Thee. And how do you avoid those fatal attractions? By getting your eyes on the right thing. Fixing your eyes and your heart and your will upon the Lord. And not upon the things of this world. Hey, if we were honest, we'd have to all say tonight that we are, the 21st century church is worldly. And that's the truth. We're all doing things today that we never dreamed we would ever do as a child of God. It's just the truth. The things that I thought, you know, years ago, we preached against everything. You know, you shouldn't go to the beach. Shouldn't wear a bathing suit. Shouldn't do all that stuff. Is our whole society doing it now? I mean, it was evil to even think about having a TV in your house, and now everybody's got cable. And what you can, and what I said, and what you can do with this little crazy thing. My gosh. You say, why are you preaching on that? Because as Christians, we all have to guard our heart. As pastor, I have to guard my heart every day. As a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, you know what you have to do? You have to guard your heart every day. And that's why he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Because if you put the temptation there, I promise you, you will give in to that temptation. Whatever you put in your house, you're going to give into it. You bring the garbage in, hey, you're giving into it. I consented and let Sarah put Netflix on our TV, but I told her, I said, look, I don't want to know the password. And I don't want anything on there but G. Because if you can't access it, guess what? There's no temptation. And he said, you don't even, I said, no, I don't even want to know the password. Why do I need to know the password? I don't want to know the password. The great thing about me, if I put a password in, I can't remember it 2 minutes after I put it in. And you know how hard it is to get another password after you, when you can't remember the last one? I just opened my Social Security account the other day. I thought, man, I better write this down immediately. Because I will not be able to remember it. Right? I wrote it down. I said, I better be careful where I put it because I won't be able to find it after I do it. But you know what? We all have to be careful. And this is the truth I'm going to tell you right now. Nobody is as good as they think they are.